Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So this evening is the lunar observance night, new moon, and we're about 2 months into the retreat, and another month left for our winter retreat time. Because we have the opportunity to have more time for practice, it's helpful to recollect the foundations of a practice. And one of those foundations are bringing our awareness to the body. In particular, just to really develop a sensitivity to the element of our being that is physicality. It's a very important anchor for our attention, because force of habit, our attention tends to be pulled into various different directions. It loves to be drawn to something that is, very pleasant, has a pleasant feeling, or it gets obsessed with something that is unpleasant, and we get entangled. Or the mind gets swept up in a particular idea, concept, different thoughts. The mind is, especially a mind that's gone through a whole decades of education. It's very skilled at thinking, but it usually doesn't have much, discernment in its thinking. It gets, caught in doubts or worries or speculations. So to have an anchor for that is so important. And the body is the Buddha, of course, emphasizes it over and over again. And we've been listening to in the community on a daily basis. There's been readings from the Thai forest tradition, and it's actually hard to escape listening to these readings without hearing about mindfulness of the body in some way, shape, or form. So that traditionally, it plays a big role. So that as we meditate, practice, develop our cultivation, bringing that attention to the body, not I mean, there's many different ways that one can do that. I mean, in terms of, say, 32 parts of the body, the elements, the charnel ground meditations. These are the classic ones. But a more fundamental to that is just the establishing awareness in the body of, say, the physical posture, paying attention to the posture, bringing attention through the body and recognizing, well, how can I energize? How can I straighten this up? How can I bring clarity to this moment by being attentive to the body, and letting the feeling of the body stand out for one, like being present for it, rather than overly conceptualizing what one thinks you should, what you think you should feel or should experience. Which is another habit that we have, so that, yeah, just tuning in, observing, letting the feeling of the body stand out for one, and to recognize it, and to settle into the body, being able to relax into, inhabit the body, so that there's a recognition of the either the lightness or the heaviness of the body, the relative comfort or discomfort of the body. It doesn't have to be some particular way. Say, like, for myself this evening, I'm actually feeling pretty rotten. Body wise, but I can be attentive to that. I can let that be there. It's okay. The body is just a basis for establishing awareness, and then to relax around that, observing what the experience is. And, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, it doesn't have to be any particular way. And then with awareness, we can explore the feeling. We can settle into the exploration. Because that's... It's a window into the human condition, and the human condition, of course, isn't an ideal condition, so that we can, however we're feeling or experiencing is on a certain level, it's irrelevant, because that isn't the purpose isn't to feel some particular way, it's to be able to observe with clarity and observe with mindfulness and discernment. What is the experience? What is the... And what are we adding to it? Because the problem isn't with any particular experience, it's what we add to it. Do we add our own desires and preferences? Do we add our concept of me? Do we go into the a storyline about, oh, poor me, or do we go into the storyline of our own exceptional and wonderful qualities? And do we, you know, what are we, the, you know, what are we adding? And because that's where the suffering is. You know, do we make it something that is complicated, or do we make it something that is very simple? And of course the opportunity is to make it something simple, something ordinary. We have a body, we have a mind, and we can recognize both the limitations of that body and mind, as well as the opportunity that we have for cultivating something that's really, truly beneficial. So it's awakening to the experience. So they're taking the body and just that, the rhythm of the breath, the feeling of the posture, and you know, letting it stand out for one, letting a feeling, what's the experience? Can we be present with that? Can we stay with that? And of course, we can for a little bit of time. All of us have been meditating, some for longer, some for shorter. But that we can be present for it. But then, you know, the mind wanders off, or the mind gets distracted, and again, it's sort of not what. And do we create a story out of that? Oh, there I am again, oh, blah, blah. Losing, when will I ever learn how to meditate? And it, but all it was a presence at that time, and then it was lost. So just reestablishing, reconnecting with that, with the experience of the body, connecting with awareness. And the Buddha is quite, say, unequivocal in his in the Gaya Katha Sati Sutta, the discourse on the mindfulness of the body. The Buddha says something like, whoever develops and pursues mindfulness immersed in the body encompasses all skillful qualities associated with clear knowing. And that's it's very straightforward. And said it in the same way that when one say encompasses the or the directs one's mind to the encompassing the experience, the, say the ocean, one has knowledge or that awareness encompasses all of the rivulets and streams that flow into the ocean. And it's a so that just by being aware and having attention to the ocean, one actually has attention and knowledge of the every source of water that flows into the ocean. So in the same way that when we have awareness, a mindfulness immersed in the body, we encompass all the skillful qualities that, that comprise clear knowing. So that's a it's a great encouragement. So this bringing attention back to the body, re-establishing, even if the mind wanders, gets drifts off, we've got the body to return to. We can come back to that rhythm of the breathing, the feeling of the posture, the experience of the body sense, the sense of having the body, so that inhabiting and immersing ourselves in that experience, so letting it stand out for you, letting the feeling come to you, rather than, I say, overly conceptualizing. The mind will much more easily settle when we use that quality of observation, attentiveness. Yeah, inevitably the mind does get wound up in different obsessions or proliferations, and that's when it's really necessary to sort of you don't have to believe the mind so much, even if it's got a really good storyline going for it. I remember a story that Ajahn Sumedho tells of when he, early days of being in England, they're still in London. And a woman called up and asked to come and meet with him. And didn't know her, but he was receiving everybody who came, and so that this person came and was quite worked up, kind of distraught, Ajahn Sumedho just asked her to talk about what was she, because she had this, she said, I just have this problem and want to be able to talk about it and find out what to do. And then she started explaining and saying that she had her daughter, a couple months before that, had this problem had been really spinning her out for a couple months. And so a couple months before that, her daughter had recently given birth to the first, so it was her first grandchild, and then she went to visit and to see how her daughter was doing, to see the grandchild, and the daughter put the newborn baby into her arms, and she took it and looked at it, and this thought came up in her mind: I'd like to poke its eyes out. And she was just aghast and horrified, and gave the baby, and she didn't touch the baby after. And she said, I'm just such a terrible person. I can't believe that I had this thought. And then Ajahn Sumedho said, well, did you do it? And she said, of course not. Of course I didn't do it. I said, well, what's the problem? And she said, And it just took over, and that spent the 2 months, and she wouldn't. Yeah, she would. She was just terrified to go see this little baby again, and it was, but it was just a thought, and there wasn't any kind of. Our minds can crank out the weirdest thoughts. But if we pick them up, identify with them, make a self out of them, define ourselves by our thoughts, then, that's kind of hopeless. I wouldn't want to divulge some of the thoughts I have. we all have, kind of weird thoughts, strange thoughts, unpleasant thoughts. But it's by being able to observe them, watch them, recognize them, this is just a thought. It arises, it passes away. And that's where the mindfulness of the body is so important, because you have an anchor, by which you can observe and be present with the thoughts. You can. This especially in practice. We have thoughts of inspiration. We have thoughts of frustration with the practice, with the teachings, with the teacher, with the, whatever. But they're just thoughts. The important thing, the crux of the practice is in the continuity of attention that is able to be present, to observe, to watch, to recognize. And we can see these come and go. And that's where the coming back to the body, it's like a place of respite. It's a refuge. Not that the body is a refuge in the sense of the 32 parts and the 4 elements, but the experience of the body, as in terms of it being something tangible, something solid, that mindfulness immersed in the body is a vehicle for that clear knowing. And it's associated with all the skillful tendencies that lead to clear knowing. So to returning and developing that presence, that awareness, back to the body. I think one of the things as well that is important, and last week I touched on it, but I think it's helpful to reiterate the importance of loving kindness, of metta, in our cultivation. If we're not remembering that quality of loving kindness, of goodwill, toward ourselves, first and foremost, and of course by extension to all beings, a recollection of goodwill, of loving kindness is helpful for creating the appropriate tone of the mind, the mood of the mind. Because if the mood is one of striving, of pushing, of identifying with self, when the mind is missing that quality of kindness, of goodwill, there is an inevitable separation that we have from others, or we are that sense of we feel like we're the odd person out. We feel that we're not quite right. We feel that we're not in sync. We feel that we're not in tune with things, and it's or we're feeling in opposition, and it's that kind of underlying agenda of either desire or aversion that's the natural result. But a counter to that is that quality of goodwill, of loving kindness. It's again from the Metta Sutta, where arising from that sort of like that line. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, and that's it's an antidote to the ways that we separate and feel either alienated or distant from others, and which is not so much any real conflict, but it's also an indication of when we're actually alienated and distant from ourselves, because that wishing in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease is including and established in that wish for safety and well-being for ourselves. And one has to make that conscious. One has to make much of that, really. Those two things of that loving kindness and mindfulness of the body lay this very strong foundation for the heart to really settle, to be clear. And that's how we establish a solid basis or a solid balance within ourselves, so that that sense of loving kindness, of goodwill, is not just, say, obsessing over ourselves, excluding the world around, but it's how we actually connect ourselves with the world around us. A good image for that is like these tightrope walkers. They walk on a rope, but one of the things that they do is they have a pole that extends out from them. And that pole is what provides the kind of the balance that helps them to stay centered. So that balance relies on that pole extending out from, oftentimes it can be like 6-8 feet on either side, and that's a good way to give stability. So that similarly for in practice, that you know, we have this so-called individual me, and our anchor is here, but it also, with that, both the mindfulness of the body and the extending out with loving kindness and goodwill, including, of course, ourselves, then that provides a kind of sphere of balance and stability, an anchor that again, roots us in skillful qualities that result in clear knowing. So learning how to develop or rely on the bases that will foster this sense of clarity and well-being. You know, just reflecting on the mind itself. Again, in all the different traditions, religious, spiritual traditions, oftentimes the reference to the clear sky, and that the say like right now we've got rain, thank goodness, the clouds and the rain will come and go, and the clouds will open up and the clear sky will be there again, or in the nighttime when that's with the moon out, you see a cloud come over, the moon will get obscured, and then it comes out again, and the clear sky is there. And that clear sky is always there. If not in the foreground, it's in the background. Or that when things, especially here, you see the. If you're up in the forest and looking out at the sky, and different clouds come through, passing through, and they're really highlighted by that clear blue sky, or different birds come come flying through, and they take up a minuscule amount of the space in the sky, but our eyes drawn to it. So similarly, you know, the mind itself is, its fundamental nature is clear and spacious, and to be able to recollect that, to remember that, to pay attention to it, rather than, you know, getting caught in the different things that come through that clarity and spaciousness, returning to the foundation, the fundamentals. So as we cultivate that mindfulness of the body, but it's for a purpose. It's to be able to understand the nature of things, so the nature of our experience, the nature of the mind itself. So these are ways that we can be exploring our tools that we can be relying on to explore our experience, and finding a foundation, finding a balance that allows us to see clearly. And of course, it's that clear seeing that allows us to relinquish, to let go. What are the suffering that we inevitably experience? It's part of the human condition, but it's also it's optional how much space it takes up in the mind. We can be relinquishing and returning to that space and clarity. These are the opportunity that we have as practitioners. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.